coming up.
We don't know for sure if it was the fire or the stab wounds, but whatever the case, her injuries were just too bad. They could not save her life.
For Vault Studios, I'm Reed Redmond. You're listening to The Daily Crime. On Wednesday, August 10th, police were called out to an apartment complex in Falls Church, Virginia.
What we do know is a neighbor had called in to the police department reporting a domestic and would later notify us of a fire alarm activation, which engaged the fire department to respond.
When patrol officers arrived on scene, they saw smoke and went inside, where they found a woman fighting for her life.
By the time responders arrived, they found the woman on fire with stab wounds. They tried to save her, but she died.
Shouldn't they reserve the way she died? She suffered a lot.
Moments earlier, a neighbor had taken a photo of a man leaving the building.
And a community member captured a moment in time. And with that photo is what we were able to share. We knew then that he was a person of interest. And I'm reporting now that that person of interest was, again, ultimately responsible and charged by my officers in the homicide division.
Casey Nolan is joining us from Washington, D.C., where he's a reporter with local news station WUSA. Casey, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
You've been covering a really disturbing story out of Falls Church, Virginia, which is in the D.C. metro area, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, yeah. It's a close suburb in Northern Virginia, pretty, peaceful. You know, it's not a place where there's a lot of crime. This particular case was pretty unusual, pretty shocking.
So this incident took place on Wednesday, August 10th, in the middle of the afternoon. Walk us through what happened.
Yeah, first, police told us that they got calls from a neighbor. This is a cul-de-sac with like kind of some medium-sized apartment buildings around it, nice tree-lined streets, again, quiet, peaceful, people tell me. And they started getting these calls from a neighbor saying some sort of domestic disturbance, as they say in police speak. But there was something going on in one of the apartments, and a neighbor was worried.
Yesterday, just shortly after 3 p.m., Fairfax County Police Department officers and members of the Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department responded to the 2900 block of Wilston Place, and that's in the Falls Church section of Fairfax County, for a reported domestic incident and a fire alarm activation.
Then they got another call back from that neighbor and said, now the fire alarms are going off. So at the same time, police and firefighters are headed to this apartment. The police, I believe, get there first. They see the apartment is on fire. Officers go in. They find a woman inside. They try to rescue her. And as they do, they realize she is on fire and she has several stab wounds. And right away, they start trying to save her. I gather right there in the area of the fire, because we know one police officer had some issues with smoke inhalation, as they say. But they couldn't save her. We don't know for sure if it was the fire or the stab wounds, but whatever the case, her injuries were just too bad. They could not save her life.
Very unfortunate for me to report. I did yesterday, and we're announcing today is that she did succumb to her injuries at the scene, even with those heroic efforts that were attempted by our first responders.
Before we talk a little bit more about what comes next in this investigation, what have you been able to learn about the victim, 40-year-old Sylvia Baca Abakai, who went by Kelly?
Yeah, she was a mother. She and her husband lived in this apartment with a friend, we're told. And she, just judging on the people who showed up around the apartment in the days after, she was described as very sweet, loving, kind, selfless friend.
She was a great friend, a great mother.
This was not a woman that people thought, had anything going on in her life that put her at any particular risk.
I was in shock. I just couldn't believe it.
You mentioned she lived with her husband and one other person. Was anyone else in the home when first responders showed up that day?
It doesn't appear so. From everything we've learned from police, she was the only one there at the time. And the person who police have arrested is pretty well known to her friends, and they say he knew her as well.
The person who did it is a friend of us, her. We know each other for a long time.
Let's talk about how investigators tracked that person down. Where did they turn as they began to try to figure out who did this?
Well, first they got a photo, again from a neighbor. They credit this whoever sent them this photo with being a key break in this case. Early in this case, like that afternoon, that evening, they released this photo of a kind of a grainy picture of a man that they said was seen leaving the apartment around the time of the fire, either walking quickly or kind of jogging away.
Now, we had posted yesterday, we had shared, and I'd like to thank the media outlets that retweeted the picture that we had of our person of interest.
They put his picture out, and within just a matter of a couple of hours, they had tracked him to a gas station. The police describe it as the detectives were like, hey, why don't you come downtown, so to speak, and talk about this. He agreed to go with them, and they started grilling him at the police department and eventually arrested and charged him.
That person of interest that was located, stopped, talked to, was arrested. He was charged yesterday with various charges, and I'll go into the exact charges that he is facing.
What else have you been able to learn about this man, Richard Montano?
The only thing I can tell you is from what a friend of Kelly's told me, and this has not been confirmed by police, but a friend told me that he was actually, his ex-girlfriend was the friend in that apartment, or rather who lived in that apartment. We don't know that she was there at the time, but you know, we said that Kelly and her husband lived with a friend. A friend of Kelly's told me that that person was Richard's ex. So how does that factor into this? We can't say for sure. You know, I asked this friend, I said, well, is it possible he could have mistaken Kelly for his ex? And they said no, that he knew them both and he knew them well. They, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't think there was any chance he could have, you know, mistakenly attacked Kelly. But again, police have not opened up about what they've learned since they were, you know, went from taking him in for questioning to actually charging him, and then except to say that their investigation is ongoing.
Right. The day after this happened, police held a press conference to announce the arrest. What stood out to you from that press conference? What were some of the more significant details you learned that day?
I think just the nature of the crime, and you could see how it affected the police officers. The detective who was talking to us, you know, he has a long career. He's seen a lot that none of us would ever want to see. You know, when I said earlier that this was shocking for this particular community, I guess what I should say is it would be shocking probably for any community. It seemed to affect the officers on scene who arrived, tried to save a woman from a fire, only to figure out that she had also been viciously attacked and stabbed.
Did investigators address how they believe Richard Montano got into the apartment that day, if he was invited in, if he broke in? Do we have any information on that?
The only clue we have on that is the crimes with which he is charged. One of them is burglary with the intent to, you know, cause harm. So just based on how he was charged, it would appear he had to force his way in.
He shouldn't have been in that house. You heard the charges. He's charged with burglary with the intent to commit murder. So he entered that premise unlawfully.
And of course, the biggest question remaining is why this happened, why someone would light another person on fire. It's just horrific. Do you have any insight into a motive here, why investigators think this suspect would have done this?
Unfortunately, no. And there's not much in his history from what we've been able to find. He did not have a long criminal record. He did not, you know, there was nothing in his past in terms of court documents and criminal charges that would shed any light on this. Police didn't seem to have any answers, at least any that they were willing to share at this time either. That is a mystery and a disturbing one.
So in every homicide, that's one of our first questions is why. That is yet to be answered in this case. I hope, my detectives hope, we'll find out why. What we do have is evidence pointing to that he is the person responsible, likely the only person responsible. We are not actively looking for anybody else, but we still have some questions. We hope to get to the bottom of it.
You mentioned that officers were first called out to this home because neighbors were able to hear some screaming. Do we know what exactly they heard, if they were able to make out anything specific?
We don't. The only thing we can say is that apparently this neighbor was concerned enough that they kept calling 911 back and kept, you know, the police will tell you that they got there within minutes. But you know how those minutes can feel like hours when you're, you know, witnessing something or involved in a scenario like this. But no, we don't know any specifics of what they heard. We don't know for sure who may have been involved in whatever they heard, just that they were pleading for police to get there as quick as possible. I will also say there was a history of police responding in their records of them responding to this address for domestic disturbances. However, the day after this happened and they had a little more time to look into it, they were quick to kind of caution people to not leap to any conclusions because they said they don't even know for sure that when those calls were made that Kelly was living there at the time. This had been a couple of years. They'd had two calls. They were cautious about linking those at this time. They're still looking into that, but we know that no charges ever came from the previous calls to this address.
Something else police said right after the arrest is that their investigation wasn't over. It's ongoing. Do we know what they were or potentially what they still are looking for?
They weren't specific, except that that was the answer they gave when we would press them on the why.
Detectives still are working this case. We have several search warrants that we have served and are currently serving in Fairfax and in Arlington. So we're working through a lot of evidence in this case for these charges to stand up in the courtroom.
I think that's what they're trying to figure out, is the connection beyond acquaintance, beyond potentially friendship between Richard and Kelly. What would trigger a person to do such a horrible thing that he's accused of doing?
What are all of the charges that Richard Montano is facing and what's next for him?
So he's facing three charges, second-degree murder, burglary with intent to commit murder, which again speaks to how he may have gotten in, and the burning of an occupied dwelling. So speaks for itself. They allege that when he set this apartment on fire, he knew Kelly was in there. As far as what's next, he's made his court appearance. Now we are at the, you know, as we know, the wheels of justice turn slowly. So this will play out in court, and we'll see where it goes next.
All right, Casey Nolan with WUSA in DC. We'll continue to keep an eye on your reporting. Thanks for sharing the story.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Crime. We're right here with a new one every day of the week, Monday through Friday. So make sure you're subscribed to or following the show wherever it is you're listening right now. If you're looking for something else to listen to, I encourage you to check out Vault Studios' newest podcast, Intent, The Tex MacIver Case. That'll do it for this one. Until next time, for Vault Studios, I'm Reed Redmond.